Well, of our subject is the magic of receiving. The magic of receiving is in the asking and in the believing. There is no such thing as luck, and nothing happens by chance. But rather, there is a divine order, a divine presence in you and in me, in the universe, and it works for us. The question this morning is, how do we open the self to receive? And how do we do it so that it becomes more real to us? Of course, the answer is, there is only one way to do it, and that is by way of consciousness. By way of consciousness. We can trace our disappointments, our frustrations, back to some belief in mind that isn't working. The Bible says it this way, according to your faith or your belief, it is done unto you. So our work is always to examine what we put in motion and what we give power to. If we are to be good receivers, then what we want must be invited into our experience. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's that period of time before the celebrating of the birth of the historical Christ. Advent is also called the Second Coming or the Return of the Christ. And according to the New Testament, the Second Coming will be an invisible one. And there will be signs of a new time. And there will be signs of godliness. And so, as with all things, we are now in a time of preparation. And certainly life is like that in many ways. We prepare. We make ready for whatever it is we are planning. Now, there are three basic steps to becoming a good receiver. And whether we use them to improve our daily living conditions, or whether we use them to do some kind of soul work, they work. They work. Now, you're familiar with these steps, you use them, but maybe not nearly as often as you need to. The first is to still the mind, to enter into the quietness of the self. This is easier said than done for many of us, simply because life is such that we are busy all the time. Even when we're resting or relaxing, the mind is busy with other thoughts and other activities. When we still the mind, when we enter into the silence, the quietness, it clears away much of the negative fallout from our surroundings, our environment. It gives the mind and body an opportunity to restore itself. It allows for healing. It provides a time of inspiration. And what is inspiration? But an awakening to a new thought or a new feeling. We learn the art of listening. And through the discipline of the quietness, we benefit ourselves as well as others. Those we know and love, and those we don't know and don't love. In the book of James, it reads, "We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Well, what is it we are lifting up, if not the consciousness? We do it in prayer. We do it in meditation. And we do it in our daily living, whether we're in the kitchen or whether we're in the Oval Office. Wherever we are, and in a moment's notice, we are able to extend our thoughts in a manner of goodwill and peace out into the world of space and know that we have given a great deal of ourselves in a loving way. And so in times of quietness and times of prayer, we are lifting others as well as ourselves. Now, people often ask, when something terrible happens, why does God allow this to happen? And the truth is, it's not God at all, but humankind that entertains these conditions in mind. Charles Fillmore, the man who began the Unity Movement, once said, "If man combines life, love, substance, and intelligence of principle in such a way that discord results, let him not lay it to God. Man is a free agent, and in the exercise of his freedom, he has left out some factor informing his world." It's another way of saying the inner vision has created the experience. And whenever and whatever we lack in consciousness, we will also lack in outer expression. If we are to master circumstances, to take charge of our lives, then we must pull our forces together in a reasonable way. We must pull all of the mental and emotional forces together in a positive, constructive way. We all know that prayer works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. And what is it that's missing when prayer doesn't work? Isn't it belief? What is prayer anyway but a particular way of thinking and feeling and knowing? We enter into prayer believing. It's in the knowing all things are possible with God that we receive. We have everything we need already. We've been given a good mind with which to think, and what we do with it is up to us. In the book of Matthew, it reads, "According to your faith, it is done to you." What you believe to be the truth about yourself is the truth. Change that truth to something totally different, and that becomes the truth. We are a law unto ourselves. We are always inventing or reinventing ourselves, and rightly so. We are not the same person we were last year or the year before. We are not the same child or the teenager or the young adult we were at one time. Now, would we want those same experiences? What we need most throughout all of this constant changing of the self is a firm foundation. A foundation of trust and faith, confidence, and belief in the self. Each new stage will bring us happiness or unhappiness according to what we believe is the truth for us. It becomes clear to me, it's not God we have to convince of anything, but rather ourselves. We are dealing with our own fears and our own doubts. And when we build a foundation of inner dependency, when we realize the wealth or the richness of God belongs to us, when we have a personal relationship with God, we will widen the boundaries, push back the borders, the limitations of our own minds, and we will be more generous with the creative power within us. Now, the second step is to know that energy is life. And we live and move in this sea of energy. And furthermore, you and I have the power to form this energy, however we often expend it in foolish ways. We use or spend it in ways that have nothing to do with what we want or what we pray for. we complain or we criticize, we're easily offended, we're easily discouraged. This takes energy, it takes time, it takes thought. And certainly where there is thought and where there is feeling, there is creation. Each person is a center of creative activity. The scripture reads, "Awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead." It's talking about the living dead. One of the big mistakes of humankind is to think that everything in the Bible refers to an afterlife. What the scripture is really saying is, wake up, sleepyhead. And it continues, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So we are asleep to our own nobility, our own sovereignty. Know who you are. You are the expression of God. You are the temple of the living God. The third step is also one you're familiar with, and again, perhaps you don't use it nearly as often as you need to. But you know it, and you use it either in a positive way or a negative way. It's that of visualizing, of seeing with the mind's eye how you choose to live, abundantly or with limitations. It's out of the imagination that we practice poor self-esteem. Out of the imagination, we acquire a poor self-image. It's out of the imagination we stay poor or we remain rejected or we worry. And if that were not so, we would not see the transformations we see in our daily lives. It's the power of visualizing that helps to overcome these very situations we talk about. It's our ability, out of our ability to see, to believe in ourselves, that we are able to overcome our own sense of inadequacy. Someone asked me recently, do we ever really change? And the answer is probably, in many cases, we don't change that much. But we do learn to transcend the situations that keep us limited. And out of that transcending, we grow tremendously. We become self-sufficient. I am sure we have all had the experience of praying without receiving. And at such times we have wondered what was missing, only to discover our belief was in the opposite of what we were praying for. We wanted abundance, yet feared lack. We wanted success, yet we were afraid of failure. Only when we manage to believe in ourselves do we see that with God all things are possible. This was my experience at one time. I discovered what it was like to have a real dream, and I know the difference between a real dream and a pipe dream. A real dream has feelings. There are images. There is action. All coming out of the imagination. Whereas the pipe dream is part of an open cylinder. Just what we call it, a pipe. Nothing in the beginning and nothing at the end. Nothing going in and nothing coming out. Everything begins with a yes. Yes to life, yes to success, yes to all that is good and all that is right. It begins with a consciousness that awakens each morning ready to live and to enjoy and to create a loving kindness state of mind. One of the barriers to a more loving kindness consciousness is an over-involvement with the material side of life. Nevertheless, there is some good in this. Very often we find our way to the spiritual path because of a material consciousness. We learn by experience that things don't always make us happy. They may for a while, but sooner or later they lose their power. When we are totally involved with the material world, there is never enough to make and keep us happy. At some point, the accumulation of things lets us down. It doesn't work anymore. In the book of John, there is a story of the woman at the well who offers the Master Jesus a drink of water. And it reads, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again." The material leaves us wanting more, but that which is of spirit satisfies. All right, how do we become good receivers? Take time to go into the silence. Put aside the fears and the doubts, the likes and the dislikes, and enter into the silence with trust and confidence. Become a good listener. Know that you are a builder, able to direct and in a way orchestrate your own drama. Use your inner sight to see possibilities, to expect and to encourage life from an attitude of loving kindness. Visualizing works. It builds a believing attitude. And believing is the power of receiving. The ideal is to have a consciousness of plenty, one of gratitude and receptivity, not only for ourselves, but for others as well. An asking, believing attitude in prayer or in the silence of our hearts responds to us in an affirmative way when we maintain an inner atmosphere of loving kindness or a sense of goodwill. Life responds to us always as we expect it to. We must be the initiators. We must begin. If there is to be a new beginning, then we must take the first step. In the words of Luke, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We don't have to convince God of anything. We have but to learn to receive. And so for just a moment, close your eyes and just let these thoughts become real for you. Learn to go into the silence, to move beyond the words, to be still, to be quiet, to allow life to happen. See with the mind's eye all of the good, all of the wonder, all of the glory of the Christ. Develop a loving kindness state of mind. Remember in prayer, it's in the believing that we receive. And always, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.